So page 3, we're going to start with the Shilchot de Rabbi Chai Gaon. The Shilchot de Rabbi Chai Gaon is a very odd book. First of all, Rabbi Chai apparently was not a Gaon. That's just for fun. The Gaonim was an official position in the Yeshivot, and Rabbi Chai apparently did not ever hold such a position. But he lived in the time of the Gaonim, so we call him a Gaon. Okay, the whole thing, right, if you, those of you who have not yet had the incredible joy of reading Dr. Salvation's article on the Third Babylonian Yeshiva should go off and read it now, because it's the most fun you'll have, like, for years. It's like, it's hard. It's about who else existed in the time of the Gaonim. I can't do it justice. You just have to, at some point in your life, when you're really bleak depression, you think there's no point in going on, just take out Dr. Salvation's article on the Third Babylonian Yeshiva, and at least, 6 months, it's got to buy you. Enormous, enormous fun. Anyway, it's good to find. Usually, it takes books. It was just an article. Shilta de Rabbi Chai Gaon. So it's a book by Rabbi Chai, and that is a whole interesting scholarly debate. Is it really a post Talmudic summary of the Gemara? The problem is that it seems to contradict the Gemara in too many places, or is it a preservation of oral material from before what we call the Talmud? In which case, I figure out why does it still exist. Right, both of these are good questions. My masorah from Professor Neil Danzig is that it's a survival of pre-Talmudic oral materials, and as to why they exist, then we refer you back to Dr. Salvechik's article. Although at the time, obviously, that Professor Danzig taught this to me, Dr. Salvechik had not yet written this article, so they can't really be Talmud Zebizet. So the Shilta is this interesting book. It's organized by Parsha. And it begins each unit with a question. Shilta. D'mechayvin deves Yisrael mimahel mihilutza l'timnaya yome. That the Jews are obligated to do Brit Milah on the eighth day. V'adifa mihiluta, right? And Milah is really, really important. D'afilu Shabbos Yisra skilahu. Ki misrama yoma d'timnaya b'Shabbos. When the eighth day comes out on Shabbos. D'achinen lal Shabbat min kamei mihiluta. Okay, Milah is docha Shabbos. You all know this, right? Even somebody who has as many merits as Moshe Rabbeinu, lo magna alei zechuta, his zechuyot do not protect him if he does not do milah on the eighth day. Beidan demirashel b'miluta, if he delays brit milah, iyanesh, he gets punished. Shin emar, v'hi baderach b'malon, v'yifkesheu Hashem v'yivakesh hamito. So we all know this, right? Last 2 weeks ago's Parsha, right, that Moshe delays the Brit Milah of one son or another, it seems, right? And so he gets punished. Okay, so now I want you to ask you, according to the Shilta, I ask you, what does the phrase Afilo Hayita Ki Moshe Rabbeinu mean? And when do you use the phrase, when you say that?
It's still complimentary, because you're saying
it is complimentary. Yeah. It doesn't say any, right? This is the Gaonim aren't doing something else, sir. Right? This is a problem according to both the Taz and Rav Moshe, right? That it seems to be that the Shiltos is violating the halacha, because the Shiltos is a filuman. Whoops! How could it be somebody like Moshe Rabbeinu? Off with his head, right? So, right, presumably we have the Shiltos seems to be beferish paskin against the Taz because it says Afilo Yitzhak Moshe Rabbeinu. For real. Okay, that's one. When do you use the phrase Afilo Yitzhak Moshe Rabbeinu in the right according to this, right? It was when you want to show that you're right, Moshe Rabbeinu is the person with the most chuyot, and even those chuyot don't protect you. Okay, so now, dramatic climax. I want you to, right, it turns out that we don't have the end of the Sefer Orchot Chaim, and we don't know what Shavuot the Marshal is referring to, but we do have the Geniza. And in the Geniza, we have two Shavuot HaGeonim that seem to be exactly the Shavuot that we're talking about. So now, I want you to read the Shavuot HaGeonim, both versions, right? It's on page 3 under the Shilta, and I want you to tell me what's different about the Shavuot HaGeonim than it was cited by either the Marshal or the Beit Yosef, and why does it matter? It's going really fast. We got lots of time. Okay, so one of the Truvot just says Gadol Kimoshe. Okay, good. Let's see, that's the B answer. Okay, we still got B plus, A minus, and A to go. A plus is if you figure out why it matters.
So right,
on a curve, you're way ahead. Anybody see any other differences? This is like one of those things with the psychological examinations where the person comes out in the gorilla suit in the middle of the basketball game and no one notices.
Yeah.
Read it over word for word and tell me what's different. You got it? Yeah?
Well, the Marshall mentions and neither.
Marshall mentions?
Specifically says
okay, very right. So the Marshal actually has in his text of it, he says any mekabel mimcha mechila. So that's correct, and it's not in there. So that seems like a root, right? Maybe the Beis Yosef is right. The Marshal put it in, or maybe the right. That's fair. Good. Okay. B plus. Why? Well, you think you'll lose? Now on the curve, right? This resonant, right? You're the lowest score. Everyone else, I don't know. My mother, when she taught in community college, apparently there was a grade. There was an F, and there was an R, repeats. And for an F, you got to keep your grants. But if you got an R, you had to repeat the class. You didn't get credit. So students would come to her begging for an F. And she would say, "You have to earn the F." Word for word. This is not a trick, I should say. Dr. Soloveitchik once threw us out of shiur because he assigned every text you're required to prepare with the Didukei Sofrim, and so he walked in one day early in the semester and he said, "What changes are in the Didukei Sofrim?" And none of us had the courage to tell him that there weren't any, which was the right answer. So we decided we weren't prepared enough, because if you're really prepared, you'd be confident. There were no changes. So he threw us out. This is not that kind of trick. Yes. It says mitkotet or meriv in the two versions in the Gaonim, and even the Marshal, Marshal has mitkotet and umeriv, right? So it's interesting, right? Oh. Right, Marshal has both, has one from each. Okay, we'll put that in the B plus category. There's another one. It's really hard to see. Yes. Tell me more.
So it's not that the person, if you were like, even if Moshe, or if you were like Moshe, then I still wouldn't listen. It's the person who's saying it.
Ah, bingo. Hey, if you get there, tell me what makes that change? You're giving the interpretation, but you didn't tell me how you know that that's true. As opposed to? Im hayita kemoshe. Exactly right. The text of the Tshuvot, the way the Marshal Beis Yosef quotes, it's all part of the quote. Omer lachavero, eini mimkabel mimcha afilo hayita kemoshe, malkino tomishun bizayon. But the text of the Tshuvot actually says, Omer lachavero, eini mimkabel mimcha, im haya kemoshe, even if he's like Moshe, Malkino Tomishim Bizayot. It's not comparing, right? It's not comparing, as Rachel says, it's not comparing the person who is, it's not that you are comparing the person you are insulting to Moshe. It's that the author of the Tshuva is saying that even if the insulter were like Moshe, he wouldn't get away with it. Now, why do I think that's a reasonable interpretation? Because I have the Shiltas. And I know that in the time of the Gaonim, they use the phrase, Imayakya Moshe, meaning even if he has Zechuyot like Moshe, he still gets punished. So this tshuva is just following the model of the Shilta. So, well, what I want to say is in the end, we had a tshuva of the Gaonim. The tshuva of the Gaonim said that, if you tell somebody after a fight, I will not take Mechila from you. It doesn't matter who you are, you get punished. You always have to take Mechila. At some point, the Haya became Hayita. And therefore, people read it as, right, the Marshal read it as, it's not that you always have to take Mechila, even if you're like Moshe, you always have to take Mechila, and even if you're Moshe, you have to take Mechila from anybody. He read it instead as, if you tell somebody, I refuse to accept your Mechila, right, even if you're like Moshe, you get punished. The Marshal said, I don't know where that came from. That's a weird halacha. Why should it matter, Moshe or Yeshua? But you know what? It's in the tshuva, the Marshal said, so fast. But that's because the Marshal had the girsa afilu amar li Yeshua ben Nun mishmei, which had nothing to do with this tshuva. But the Beis Yosef had the girsa mipume. And so he connected the Gemara to it, and he came with a new halacha, which is, it's not about mechila at all. It's about truth. You're not allowed to tell somebody, I wouldn't accept that as true from you even if you were like Moshe. Now, along came the Taz and said, well, why should it be usher to say, I wouldn't accept the truth from that even if you were like Moshe? On that axis, who cares Moshe or Yeshua? So the Taz says, no, it must be that the halacha is you're not allowed to compare anyone to Moshe for any reason whatsoever. And this is just an example. Now, along came Rav Moshe. And Rav Moshe said, well, the Taz said, that there's a halacha which says you're not allowed to compare anyone to Moshe for any reason whatsoever. Therefore, there can also be a halacha that you can't use metaphors about God. Now how do we paskin? Do we paskin like Rav Moshe? Do we paskin like the Shulchan Aruch? Or do we say, well, you know what? Rabbi Klapper's got a really good argument. He's got the original girsa of the tshuva that both the Marshal and Beis Yosef have. And if you can tell me, how does he know his girsa is right? Well, he has the shiltas. He knows that the Beis Yosef is based on understanding the Gemara, which is right. If the Beis Yosef had our girsa, he would have had a much better explanation of that Gemara. So maybe we should pass the answer of Moshe, and we should pass the answer of Shulchan Aruch. And we should all learn the very nice halacha that if you're in the middle of a fight with somebody, you should never say, "I won't take mechila from you." That's bad. You should always take mechila from people. Doesn't matter how great you are. Even if you're Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to accept it if people ask offer you mechila. So what do you think? How do we paskin? Somebody comes up to you tomorrow and says, I'm teaching my fifth grade class about God tomorrow. And I want to teach them that God is like a very strict old man sitting on a seat of judgment. Mutter? Asur of Moshe said so? All right, so these are good questions, right? Questions I like to think about, because the truth is that this can happen a lot, in all sorts of interesting ways. First of all, this one letter that the Marshal seems to have put into that tshuva, so that kind of thing can have lots and lots of fun. For example, the Chassam Sofer, Paskin's a really fascinating thing about whether you keep 2 days Yontif in Israel, because he just could not imagine that a particular Rishon had a text of the Gemara that was missing one letter, which reverses the meaning of a Gemara. And you just look at it, and so it's, it's a Ravan. I looked up every edition of the Ravan that had been printed by the time of the Chassam Sofer. None of them have that letter in it. But the Chassam Sofer put it in, because he assumed that the Rishon had the Gersa of the Gemara. And so the whole meaning of everything is reversed. There are many, many cases where we have original sources of things the Beis Yosef had, and we can suggest that the Beis Yosef didn't have the best Gersa of things we have. Same with Rav Moshe. On the other hand, like the Taz and the Aruch Lener and Pishnayim, Rav Moshe's Tshuva so often writes, so often where you want to be. So hopefully I will, in the next few days, I'll publish an article about Rav Moshe's understanding of the Cheren Rabbeinu Gershom, in which he says very clearly the purpose of the Cheren Rabbeinu Gershom is to create real equality between men and women. Rav Moshe says the purpose of the Cheren Debeinu Gershom that doesn't let you divorce women, men divorce women against their will, is to create equality between men and women. And he quotes that from a Rush, but he doesn't quote it from the Rush directly. He quotes it from a Rush quoted by the Chelkas Mechokek. If you look at the truth of the Rush, it might not mean that, but I really like it. Maybe. Does it matter? Yes. Victoria.
Would we need, I guess, can we change the halacha based on that their gersa was incorrect?
Yeah. And not even talking about gersa in the Gemara, right? That's already controversial. But gersa in, right, when you were shown him. Rav Schefter is very radical about this. Rav Schefter says yes. And you're absolutely right. Not only can you, but you have to. As in many things, Rav Schefter is much more radical than I am. So I'm just raising the question. The part of the reason Rav Schefter says this probably because he thinks it happens a lot less often than I do. And it might very well be that, right, that the more often you think it happens, the less likely you are to think that, right, to think it should change the halacha. All right. Other questions? Well, that is exactly an hour. And my hope is that if the questions aren't now, that there are lots and lots and lots of questions, and so you'll email me and we'll all have occasion to learn together lots in the future. Thank you for listening and for getting the right answer. There you go. Come learn.
Thank you.
You're welcome.